Shir starts the Ezra Shemiz Baruch towards the bottom of Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis with the Mishnah Kala Kadoshim. The Mishnah and subsequent Sugya will be dealing with the Oirois, the skins of Kachi Kadoshim that became Pasul. The skins of Kachi Kadoshim go to the Kayin. What happens, however, if the Basar becomes Pasul? Zak the Mishnah. Kala Kadoshim She'ira Be'em Psul Koidim Liyavsheita. All Kadoshim, and we are referring over here to Kachi Kadoshim, like the Chatas, the Oilo, the Asha, which become disqualified, which become possible before the actual skinning, before the skin is separated from the basar. Ein oyosein l'kayanin. In this case, the oyos do not go to the kayanin. Rather, the same way the basar possible will be burnt, the oyos will be burnt along with it. So let us bear in mind that as long as the oyos has not been separated from the basar, any psul to the basar will likewise disqualify the oyos. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, Li'acharev Shaitan, if a psul occurs to the basar after the hafshit, in other words, at the time that the basar became disqualified, the oil was already separated. In this case, I say, l'kayhanim, the skins do go to the kayhanim. Amar Rabbi Chanina Skana Kayhanim, miyamai, all my days, l'ayri'isi, I never saw, are any skin, yoitz l'beis. Then the Gemara will explain that he is referring to skins after hafshit. Once the oil was separated from the basar, and at that point, the basar was not pasul yet, then the yard would never be taken out with basis slaves. It always went to the Kayanim. Now the point that Rav Chanina's Kana Kayanim is making is that let us say at the time that the skin is taken off the basar, when the basar is flayed, we realize then that the animal was tefa, meaning that the fact is the basar was possible before the skinning. If we did not know that the basar was possible before the skin was separated, then the skin did not go out to be burnt together with the basar. So Rav Chanina's Kana Kayanim is adding to the Tanakama. And not only is it a shaila when the basar becomes pasul, the point is, when did we find out that the basar became pasul? If we find out after hefshit, the ayus are l'kayan. And this is basically what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Omar Rabbi Akiva, midvar b'lamadnu, from the words of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kayan, who says that once there was hefshit, the yar never went along separate, together with the basar to the basis. Right, sir? From his words, we learn, shahamashad esabchar, somebody is mashad eibchar. And in the Gemara, we're going to see why Rabbi Akiva picks par as an example. The nimsa treifa, and it turns out that the basar is treifa, the animal is treifa, even though factually speaking this psul in the basar was there before the skinning. However, the ar will not go with the basar to be burnt, but the kayhanim will get the ar, they can have enough from the ar. However, the chachanim, unlike Rabbi Akiva, are not satisfied with Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kayhanim's statement that he never saw any ar after the hafshit going out with basar treifa. They say the fact that I did not see is not a raya. It just may very well be that it never happened during the time of Rav Chanina's Kana Kayhanim staying in the base of Migdash that an animal was found to be treif after hafshit. And if it would have happened, perhaps the yar would have been sent out together with the basal isreifa. Because if the animal turns out to be treifa, that means the psul was there before the hafshit. In addition, perhaps it did occur that an animal was found to be treifa after the hafshit. And perhaps in that case, the yar was sent out to be burnt. It's just that Rav Chanina's Kana Kayhanim never noticed it. It never happened in front of him. Therefore, the Chachamim say, "Ein lo yirinu raya." The fact that Rav Chanina's Kana Kayhanim says, "I did not see," is not proof. Ela yoytz lebeis reifa. If an animal is found to be treifa after hafshit, being that obviously the psul took place before the hafshit, in that case the ar is not saved. Rather, the ar goes together with the basar to be burnt. Now, the first thing the Gemara wants to know is how does this Mishnah coordinate with the very Mishnah that we learned yesterday? Frek the Gemara, on the very other side of this daf, we learned the Mishnah, Kol Shalei Zacha Behema Bitzara, wherever a carbon becomes possible before the Zrika Sadam, Loi Zachu HaKayhanim B'yoya, the Kayhanim are not Zaychen the skins. In order for the Kayhanim to be Zaychen the Ar, there has to be a Kosher Zrika. There has to be a Zrika that's Matya the Basar. Now the Mishnah makes absolutely no point of asking if the psul occurred before hafshit or after hafshit. Rather, regardless of what occurred, as long as there was no zrika yet and there was a psul to the basar, the ar also becomes pasul. So you see, continues the Gemara, the afal gav the yifshat li ar, even though the ar was nifshat, if it's koidim zrika and a psul happens to the basar, then the ar is pasul. And our Mishnah says that as long as it's after hafshit, any psul to the basar would not affect the ar. Our Mishnah did not mention anything about the necessity of a kosher zrika for the basar to be machshir the ar. Zok the Gemara Mani, who is this first Mishnah? Rabbi Elizabeth of Shimon, Yisrael Elizabeth of Shimon, the Wamar, who says, "Ein adam eratz al arbis neyatzma." The point is that it takes a kashra zrika to remove the yisr mila, both from the basar and from the ar. So unless there is a kashra zrika, obviously the kahanim cannot use the ar. Now the Rav Elazar Shimon says there is no such a thing as a zrika to be matir ar. Zrika is matir basar. If there is kashra basar, then it's matir the ar as well. Therefore, says the Rav Elazar Shimon, it's a fact. There is no zrika without basar. And the ar will not become mutter unless it has a zrika. So if the basar becomes possible, you can't be zarek the dam just for the ar. The mail of his first Mishnah says, any psul occurring to the basar before the zrika, which in effect renders the zrika useless, means that the ar will never leave its status of mila. The fact that the basar becomes possible after the hafshit, after the ar was separated from the basar, does not make the situation any better. Because we still cannot give the ar to the kehanim unless we have a zrika, and we can't have a zrika unless we have kashrut basar. So that explains the Reisha, that explains the first Mishnah. Now, for example, my name is Seifer, look at the Seifer. Kala Kadashim She'ir Ben Tzul Koidim Hefshaita, any Tzul that occurs while the Ar is still connected to the Basar, Einer is saying, look, Yanim, this passes the Ar. Liachar Hefshaita, any Tzul that occurs to the Basar after the Ar was separated, I was saying, look, Yanim, then the Tzul to the Basar does not affect the Ar. How can you possibly be matir the ar if there's no zrika? We just finished saying that unless there is kashrut basar, we can't have a zrika. And for the Gemara, the second Mishnah, the safe of the Mishnah, asan l'Rebbe, this would work out according to Rebbe Shita, the Amar who says, hadam l'ratzal or b'smayatzmai. Rebbe argues with Rebbe Elazar Rav Shimon. He says that zrika works for the ar the same way it works for the basar. If the basar becomes possible, you can still have a zrika to be matir the ar. Therefore, Rebbe will tell you as follows. If the basar becomes possible when the ar is still attached to it, then everything becomes possible. Everything goes out the basis of life. But as long as there was hefshit, as long as the ar has been separated to the basar and then the basar became possible, the ar is not affected at all. Elamai, it needs zika to be maitzit midei me'ila. It is possible to be zarek the dam just to be machshir the ar. Therefore, we have no choice but to conclude. The reisha that says it's tali in the zrika, any psul before the zrika would passel the ar. Regardless if or if not the hafshit took place, the Rabbi Elazar Shimon, that would be the sheet of the Rabbi Elazar Shimon, who says once the basar becomes possible, you can't have a zrika to be matir the ar. Zrika is only for kashrut basar. And Seifer, the Seifer that says that as long as when the basar became possible, the ar was not part of that basar anymore, it was separated, that would be Rebbe, who says you can now go ahead and be machshir the ar by a zrika just for the ar, even though the basar became possible. However, being that this is somewhat of a daichik, to say that the reisha is the Elazar Shimon, and the very next lines are Rebbe, we will now see a machloikis between Abaye and Rava, where Abaye will maintain that both Mishnahs, including the first, could be worked out according to Rebbe, and the Rava will maintain that both Mishnahs, including the second one, could work out even according to the Elazar Shimon. Amar Abaye, mid Seifer Rebbe, if the second Mishnah, if the Seif is Rebbe, then Reisha Nami Rebbe. Aye, if the Reisha is Rebbe, who says that you could be Zoyrig the Dam just for the Ar, why does the first Mishnah, why does the Reisha say that any psul occurring to the basar even after Hefshit, before the Zrika passes the Ar, as long as they were separated and then the psul occurred to the basar, so be Zoyrig the Dam just for the Ar? And for the Baye, because he moy the Rebbe, she'ein Hefshit koidin Zrika. And Chanami, Rebbe will say that if they were mafshit the Ar before the Zrika, and then the psul occurs to the basar when the ar was already separated, you could be zarek the dam for the ar. But that doesn't happen. They don't do things that way. Because kohanim are not permitted to be shoya the dam. You have to make the zrikas a dam immediately. You cannot wait until after hefshit. So, more often than not, what happens? The zrika takes place while the ar is still connected to the basar. Therefore, any psul to the basar affects the ar as well. And therefore, it is a valid statement to say that, generally speaking, any psul that occurs to the basar before Zrika will pass the Ar, because usually the Basar and the Ar are still connected. But en hachanami, should it happen that for some reason a kohen was mafshit the Ar, separated the Ar from the Basar, and then the psul occurred to the Basar, this type of a psul would not affect the Ar, and then it would theoretically be possible to zarek the dam just for the Ar. The Mishnah, however, assumes the general rule that usually no hefshit is done before Zrika is a dam. Rabba Amar Rabba says, mid reisha, the beloved of Shimon, if we are interpreting the first Mishnah that says any psul to the basar before zrika would passel the ar, if that is the Elazar Shimon, seifa nami the Elazar Shimon. And both of these Mishnahs are working with the Shita that you cannot be Zayrik Dam just for R. You must have Kasher Abasa. So it is difficult. My Kaidim Hefshit, and we go now to the top of Kuf Dalet Amid Aleph, Imayachar Hefshit. Why does this Mishnah say that any psul that occurs before Hefshit passes the R, and a psul that occurs after Hefshit will not pass the R, even if it's after Hefshit? If we did not have Zrikas Hadam yet, even though the R was separated to the Basar, the fact remains that once the Basar becomes possible, you can't be Zarek the Dam for the R. And if you can't be Zarek the Dam for the R will never leave its status of something that you are Chayiv Mi'ilan. Therefore, Rav explains as follows. What do we mean when we say a psul occurring before Hefshit will passel the R? We don't mean actual Hefshit. Rather, Koidim Sherau li Hefshit. Any psul that occurs to the Basar before the time of Zrika, it is the Zrika that makes the animal eligible for Hefshit, because that removes the Me'ila. So if a psul occurs before Zrika, then it's possible. Because once you don't have Basar to be Zarek for, you can't be Zarek for the Ark. And what does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah says that if a psul occurs after Hefshit, the Basar is kosher? We mean Achashen Niruli Hefshit. After the animal is eligible for Hefshit, meaning after the Zrikas Hadam, in this case, any psul to the Basar will not passel the R, even, explains Rashi, if no Hefshit ever took place. Even if the R is still on the animal, as long as there was a Zrikas Hadam that was Machshir the Basar at that time, the psul to the Basar from this point on will not affect the R in any way whatsoever. All that Elazar Rabbi Shimon asks for is a Kasher Zrika. If you have a Kasher Zrika that is Machshir Basar even for a minute, then the R is Kasher. Now that we have worked out both Mishnayos respectively, either both according to Rabbi or both according to the Elazar Rabbi Shimon, our Gemara wants to know, where is the source of this machlokes between Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon and Rabbi? What do they actually say? Zakti the Gemara, my Rabbi, imai Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Zakti the Gemara, the Tanya we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Yoimi, Rabbi says, if you have a kosher animal, kosher basar, and you are machshit the R, you take off the skin, what happens to the basar from this point on is irrelevant. Even if the basar becomes pasul, as long as it became pasul after the skin was separated, you can be zarik the dam just for the R. Hadam miratza al ha'ar bifnei atzma. The dam will be miratza even on behalf of the skin by itself, even if the basar is no longer kosher. So Rabbi Shita is, as explained previously, the R will always be kosher unless the R was still on the animal, it was never taken off, and the basar becomes pasul. The psul to the basar inevitably will pasul the R as well. As long, however, as you manage to disconnect the R from the basa, you remove the R before the psul comes to the basa, even though it's before Zrika, the Zrika can still come and be machshir the R. Now it's obvious, explains Rashi, that if a psul occurs to the basa after Hefshit and after Zrika, surely the R is kosher. We have to bear in mind, however, that there is one aspect of Rebbe Shita which is more stringent than the Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon. Rebbe is of the opinion that as long as the R is connected to the basa, if you didn't skin it yet, any psul to the basar will passel the R, even after Zrika. Now we just finished saying that the Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon says that as long as the Zrika was done for a kosher animal, and at the time of Zrika the basar was kosher, even if the basar becomes passel afterwards while the R is still connected to the basar, it won't passel the R. Once the Zrika is machshir the basar, the R is kosher. Rebbe disagrees on that. Rebbe says the R must be separated from the basar. If we don't want the psul of the basar to affect the R, regardless if it's before or even after the Zrikas Hadam. So let us now see once again the words of Rebbe in the Brais. We are on Kuf Dalet Amid Aleph, again 3 lines from the top. The time you relent in the Brais. Rebbe Yoimer, Rebbe says, Hadam Eratza al Ha'ar Bifnei Atzma. Rebbe is not concerned that the Zrika cannot work just for the R itself. As long as you manage to separate the R from the basar, Rebbe says what happens to the basar from this point on is totally irrelevant. The basar may become possible, you can still be zayik the dam just for the R. But you have to separate the R from the basar in order to remove the R from the psul. Because the kishahu im habasar, when the R is together with the basar, noted by psul, should a psul occur to the basar, bein koidim zrika. Bein liacha Zrika makes absolutely no difference if it's before Zrika, even after Zrika, even if at the time of Zrika the basar was kasha. But if a psul occurs to the basar after zrika, and the oil was not separated at the time of that psul, hareyu ki yoitzaboy, and the oil is going to become pasul together with the basar. So the key word to remember, according to Rebbe, is hefshit. If you separated the oil, it's not affected by the basar. If you didn't separate it, it is affected. Before zrika or after zrika is totally irrelevant, being that according to Rebbe, you can make zrika even if the basar is pasul. Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon said, before hefshit or after hefshit is irrelevant. The key factor in being machshir the yard is a kasher of basar at the time of zrika. Let us see the Gemara inside. Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon Omer, Ein hadam miratza la'ar b'fnei atzma. If that basar is pasul at the time of zrika, if with not the yard is still connected to the basar, you can't have a zrika just for the yard. And if you can't have a zrika, the R will never be removed from the status of being mild behenya. She can't use it. Even, continues Rav Elazar ben Shimon, okay, so who in the bus? When the R is together with the bus and no hefshet was ever made, it still all depends on what was the basar at the time of zrika. Not by psul kaidim zrika. If there was a psul to the basar before zrika, then hareyu ki yaitzabai, the R will never become kosher. Even if you physically separated the R from the basar before the psul occurred to the basar, once we don't have kashra basar, we don't have the possibility of a kashra zrik anymore. You can't be zrik just for the yar. On the other hand, says Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, if achar zrika hurtza basar shah achas, if you had a kashra zrika, if the basar was kashra at the time of zrika and the basar becomes mutter, even for shah achas, and it immediately becomes basal. Yavshitanu, you can skin the animal now with the basal of basar, and the oil of kayhanim, the skins go to the kayhanim. Why? Because as long as we had a kashrut zrika with kashrut of basar, the yar automatically is freed from the ila, and what happens to the basar afterwards, even though it's connected to the yar, is irrelevant. It does not affect the skin. So once again, the key word according to Rabbi is hefshit. Did you separate the yar before the psul to the basar? The key word according to the Elazar ben Shimon is zrika. Was there a kashrut of basar at the time of zrika? Hefshit is irrelevant. Zakti Gemara lame the Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua Kamiflagi. Seems that this machlokes between Rabbi and Rav Elazar ben Shimon is the very same machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. The machlokes between Rav Elazar ben Shimon and Rabbi seems to break down to what zrika accomplishes. Rav Elazar ben Shimon says, zrika accomplishes everything, provided that there is kosher of basar. Zrika without basar does not exist. Rabbi says, zrika without basar does exist. If the basar becomes pasul, as long as the yar wasn't connected at the time of the psul, you can be zarik the dam just for the yar. The eichet says that zrika has to be daka to be matir basar. Zrika could come to be matir yar. Where do we see this kind of machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? Sakta Gemara, the pasuk says as follows: the yisisa eleisecha habasar v'yadam. You should bring your carbon oil, the basar, the flesh, and the dam and the blood. Rabbi Yeshua sees in this pasuk as follows: im ein dam, ein basar, it goes together. If you don't have dam to be machshir the basar will not become kosher. And by that same token, im ein basar, ein dam. If you don't have basar, then the dam is useless. The zrik is only effective to be machshir basar. Naturally, once it's being machshir the basar, it'll be machshir the ar. But without basar to be machshir, there is no concept of zrik as a dam. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer says, dam afal pisha ein basar. The concept of zrika sadam is always there, even though there's no basar. Shenema, because the pasuk says v'dam zivachecha yishafech. You pour out the blood of your karbanis, and this works independently of the basar, even though there's no basar. There's a concept of pouring the dam. In Cain, mat hamad lema. Why does the pasuk say v'yasisa oileisecha habasar v'yadam? So it's mashma that you have to have both basar and dam. Lema lach to teach you something else, says Rabbi Eliezer. Ma dam, just like the dam, bezrika, there has to be some type of a zrika, some type of a throwing it. Af basar bezrika, there also has to be a zrika. Why would you have to throw the basar? Nalamadat, this teaches us, sherevach yesh ben kevesh lemizbech, that there was some type of a space between the ascent and the mizbech itself. So in that regard, both the basar and the dam are alike. There is a concept of zrika for both. But to say that they are totally one in another, that the Eliezer does not agree to this. He says there is zrika even though there is no basar. Therefore, now understanding the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, let us say, mandi amahurza, that Rabbi who says that it's shayach hazrika sadam even with pasul basar just for the yar, Rabbi Eliezer, this is Rabbi Eliezer shita, who says that the dam is not tali in the basar. and the beloved Rav Shimon, who says it's not shy a chazrika to down without kosher of basa, you can't be zarek just for the art. That is Rabbi Yehoshua, who says in order to be zarek dam, you have to have basa. Zak the Gemara, in part this must be true. Enchanami, liba de Rabbi Eliezer kiliyam aloi pligi. You can't argue about what Rabbi Eliezer says. There is no possible way to make Rabbi Eliezer Shita, who says the dam is not tali in the basa, work out with Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, who says you can't be zarek dam just for the yar if you don't have basa. Because Rabbi Eliezer is telling us, even if the basa, never mind that it's possible, even if it doesn't exist, even if it was lost, it was burnt, you can still be zarek the dam. So surely you could be zarek the dam for the yar if the basa is around, it's just that it became possible. On the other hand, keep pligi alibad Rabbi Yeshua. It's possible to say that both the Rebbe and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon will maintain their respective shitas within the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua. In other words, lav dafka, do we have to say that the Rebbe, who tells us it's shaya chazrika, just for the R, contradicts the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, who says there must be basa in order to be zarek the dam? How would this be possible? How could we possibly say that these two sheetas can work out? Mandi yomer hurts. The mandama that says it's shayach for the dam to be sprinkled just for the yar, even without the basar, and this mandama, of course, is the sheet of the Rebbe. Amalach, he will tell you, Atkan lekam Rabbi Yeshua Hasam, Rabbi Yeshua only there says that if there is no basar, you can't pizareg the dam. Ela be basar, dafke benegeya the basar, delekat sedilakayan. All Rabbi Yeshua really says over there is that if you don't have basar, if the basar is lost, or whatever the case may be, you don't have zrikas adam, meaning that the bialim are not yotze their chayv, and they must bring another carbon. Even though the dam of their carbon is still around, if the basar is no good, then the zrikas is no good. So the kehanim aren't really losing anything over here. The basar they couldn't eat anyhow, it became possible. Now, because the zrikas is no good, the bialim will have to bring another carbon. The fact is, the Torah says, if I have basar, if I have dam, and being that there's no basar, then the dam is not sufficient. But the drasha is not a hechruch, as we'll soon see. Therefore, Abel R, in our case, where we are saying the basar became possible, but the R could still possibly be valid, because the basar was separated before the R became possible. Over here, if we are to say that the zrik is no good, that means the kehanim lose the R. So over here, the ikup say the kehanim. Here there would be a hefset for the kehanim. A filler of Yeshua maida, filler of Yeshua would be maida, that it's possible to desire the dam just for the R. And Hachanami, this is how Rashi explains it, and Hachanami lechatchila, one should not be zarek the dam just for the yar, because lechatchila the Torah says habasa the adam, the zrika for the dam is intended to be matir basa. However, if b'diavad somebody went and he was zarek the dam just for the yar after the basa became pasul, then the yar will be kosher, it will go to the kayanim. How do I know this? How do I know that b'diavad, even though the bialim will have to bring another carbon, the original yar of the first carbon will still go to the kayanim? Even though the bialim aren't yet to their chayv with the first carbon, it is still considered or ha'ayla asher hikri, it is considered the hakrab in the sense that the iris do go to the kayanim. How do I know this? Now here we have a very big change in the girsa. Mididi hava, the shita mekabesis is not gairis the word adi eved, rather he is gairis mididi hava ayoitza. If the basar leaves the mechitzas, then we are not to be zarek the dam. However, if bidi eved, the Kayan was Zarek the Dam, even though the Basar left the Mechitzais, it is not necessarily a Pasla Zrika, even according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Tanantha we learned in the Mishnah, Nitma HaBasar Oisha Nifl, that's the Gersim Meshita Mekabasis. If the Basar became Tamek, or it became Pasl, Oisha Yatza Chutz Leklaim, or it left the Mechitzais of the Beis HaMikdash, Pasling it, Rabbi Eliezer, it is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that Yizrak, because Rabbi Eliezer, as mentioned previously, says Zika of the Dam has nothing to do with the Basa. Rabbi Yeshua, I'm Rabbi Yeshua, who says he dashes the pasuk of HaBasa the Hadam that's Tali Zebazet. Therefore, he says Lechatchila Lo Yizrak, you should not be Zarek the Dam. However, he moided Rabbi Yeshua, even Rabbi Yeshua acknowledges Sheim Zarek that if B'diavad he went ahead and he was Zarek the Dam despite the fact that the Basa is Pasul, Hurtza, it is accepted. Mamela, the ayah should not be any worse. If b'diavad the kohen goes and he zarek the dam after the basa becomes possible for the sake of the ayah, then the ayah b'diavad should be kosher and it should go to the kohanim. Now, b'yestem, Rabbi Yeshua says in regard to all of these, if it's nitma or if it's nivsal, Rabbi Yeshua says lechatchila la yizrek, but b'diavad if there was a zrika, then hurts, then the zrika is accepted. So why, when the Gemara wants to say that a zrika for the yard should not be any less, why does the Gemara say needed to have a yoytze? Why does the Gemara dafka pick the case of yoytze? That being that the Yeshua says b'diavad, if the baser was yoytze, the zrika is still meratza. The mele b'diavad should be meratza for the ar also. We could later bring the same raya from the other cases as well, from the fact that the Yeshua says b'diavad if the baser became pasul, or b'diavad if the baser became tame, the zrika still helps. So Rashi explains, if the baser becomes tame, the fact that the Yeshua is mighty that if b'diavad a zrika was made, that it's meratza, this is not a hechach, because in regard to tumah there is a concept that the tzitz is meratz. So there's some type of outside help. But in regard to basar leaving its restricted area, leaving the kloyim of the Beis HaMikdash, or of the Mishkan, no tzitz is meratzah for that. The zrika is left without basar. And despite that, the Yeshua says bidi aved, it's accepted. So the yar should not be any worse if bidi aved. A kohen was doyek the dam after the basar became possible, provided that the yar was separated before the psul, the yar should be kosher. So, enachanami, Rabbi Yeshua does have a drasha of habasa v'yadam b'basa and dam atali zebezeh. And enachanami, Rabbi Yeshua would say that if the basar were to be non-existent, if the basar were burnt, or if the basar were lost, then even bidi aved, the zrik would be totally ineffective. But Saif Kol Saif, Rabbi Yeshua does say where the basar just left the client, and afterwards we brought it back, b'diavad, the zrika is effective. So you see that the drasha of habasar v'hadam, binding dam to basar, is lav dafka 100%. There is somewhat of a loophole here. The Torah is giving us somewhat of a leeway that it's possible to have an effective zrika even without a basar that is 100%. Therefore, the yar should not be any worse. And Rabbi Yeshua himself possibly would be maida that if you are zayirik dam just for the yar, it should be merat. Memela, the Gemara concludes at this point, Rabbi Tak is of the opinion that the kashrus of the R is totally strictly in hefshet. If we manage to separate the R from the animal before the psul to the basar, it will be kosher. Even though it's before zrika, you can be zayik the dam just for the R. Rabbi Eliezer says so beferish, and even according to Rabbi Yeshua, we have here a raya that b'diavad, it's possible that a zrika could be effective, although the basar is no longer kosher. Now the Gemara goes to the next part of the Mishnah. In the next part of the Mishnah, we learned that Rav Chanina Skana Kahanim told us, in all his days of service in the Beis HaMikdash, Miyamai, all my days, Le'ir'isi, I never saw an oir that went out the Beis HaSreif. I never saw an oir that was burnt. In fact, the Gemara of the law, he didn't. There are many oirs that are supposed to be burnt. Hari Parim HaNisrafim, or Se'irim HaNisrafim. And for the Gemara, Le'mitzvah and Le'ko Amrinan, those karbanas are supposed to be burnt. What Rav Chanina means to say is, I never saw oirs that were burnt that were not supposed to be burnt. I never saw oirs that were burnt because they became possible. But it's still not clear. What does Rav Chanina Skana Kahanim mean? He never saw oirs that are burnt. It's not possible to have a psul for oirs? There is a case where all sheet is previously mentioned would be moida that the oir is possul. Hari kaidim hefshit. Let's say it's before hefshit. The oir is still connected to the basar. But kaidim zrika, it's before zrika. Rebbe says you have to have hefshit. Rebbe Lazar Rav Shimon says you have to have zrika. So if it's before hefshit, then it's before zrika, and the basar becomes possible, hakol ma'idim, that the yar should be burnt. So how could it be that this never happened? That if Chanina Skana Kahanim says, I never saw it happen? And for the Gemara, chalutz kuamina, that Chanina Skana Kahanim is saying, I saw whole karbanas that were burnt with the iris. I never saw or, however, after it was taken off the basar, I never saw or by itself that was burnt. Rashi explains, karbanas that were found to be possible while the yar was still on were burnt together with the yar. But once the yar was taken off, it always went to the Kohanim. Frek the Gemara, but how could that be? Whenever the yar was separated, there's an automatic guarantee that it's kosher. V'yuikar achar hefshet v'kaidim zrika. Let us say indeed the yar was separated, but it's before the zrika's hadam. L'Rabbi Elazar b'Rav Shimon, or as the Gir says in the Shita Mikabat says, K'Rabbi Elazar b'Rav Shimon, even after hefshet before zrika, the yar should be burned. Frek the Gemara, how could the Chanina Skana Kohanim say he never saw oirais? Skins, once they were separated from the basar, that they should be burnt. B'yuikar achar hefshet, we have the skins, even though it's after hefshet, after they were separated. But the kaidim zrika, k'rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon, if it's before zrika, according to the sheet of k'rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon, these oirais have to be burnt. The yama, because k'rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon says, once you don't have the basar, you can never remove the concept of mila from the oirais. Because you have to have zrika sadam, and ein hadam eratz al oir b'fnei atzma, you have to have basar. So here's a case that it's possible even after hefshet. And for the Gemara, Reb Chanina, Karebi Sfirlai, and Achanan. that Chanina agrees with the Rabbi Shita, that you could be Zarek the Dam just for the Yar. And therefore he says, once the Yar was separated from the Basar, if or if not, the Zrika took place, the Yar never was burnt, because you can be Zarek just for the Yar. The Ibo Yisena says the Gemara, or you can say, Afila Taimaka Belaza Bet Hashem. Let's say that Chanina agrees with the Belaza Bet Hashem, who says you cannot be Zarek the Dam just for Yar by itself. We can still understand why the Chanina would say, I never saw Yar after the Hefshit going out with Beis HaSreifa. It's possible, if it's after Hefshit and before Zrika, if the Basar became possible before Zrika, the Zrika for the Yar itself should not be effective, therefore it should go out with Beis HaSreifa. Zakti Gemara, we mentioned before, Moed Rebbe, even the Rebbe who says it's Shaykh to be Zoyek the Dam for the Yar itself, he would also be Moed that this Halacha would virtually not be Shaykh. She'ein Hefshit Kaidim Zrika, because the Metziah says the Kaihanim were never Mafshit the Kaidim, they never took off the skins before Zrika. Because you are not permitted to be Shaya the Dam. The Zrika has to be done at the first available opportunity. The Mela, whenever there was Hefshit, whenever the Yar was separated, this was already after Zrika. So we understand now why Rav Chanina's Kana Gehanim says in all his days in service of the Beis HaMikdash, he never saw them take out independent Oiris separated from the Basar, the Beis HaSreifa. Because even according to Rabbi who says it's Shaykh to make Zrika just for Oiris, the fact is they never made Zrika just for Oiris. Because they never separated the art from the boss until after the Zrika. According to the Belazar of Shimon, who says you can't make Zrika just for the iris, they surely never separated the iris from the boss before Zrika. Therefore, in all his days, whenever he saw iris separated from Basar, that meant it was after Zrika. At the time of Zrika, there was Basar there. And Hakomaydim, that this type of AR, regardless of what happens to the Basar, will remain kosher. Let's put aside for a second the respective shitas of Rabbi and the Belazar of Shimon. How could Rav Chanina possibly make a statement like this, that he never saw Oiris once they were separated from the Basar to be taken Lebeis HaSreif? The Wiccan in Sas Treifa B'nei Ma'ayim. Now there are certain types of Treifas you can tell right away, even when the Oir is still on the Basar. But if there is an internal Treifa that is found, it must mean that it was only found after the Hefshit. They did not have x-ray machines in those days, and therefore it was impossible to find this type of a Treifa unless you already took off the skin. However, once this is found, we also realize that this psul in the Basra was here before the Hefshit and before the Zrika. Now, Hakol Maidim, that a psul that occurs to the Basra before Hefshit and before Zrika, passes the R. Agav, there's a Chubas Masham, if or if not a picture is considered al pi halacha, enough to be Mavahara Metzias. He wrote the Lampi Chuva, when a woman attempted to remarry on the basis of a picture that her husband was dead. But Akopan, the fact of the matter remains, al pipashtis, there is no way to find a treifa unless there was hefshit. Surely some animals are treifa. So how could Rav Chanina say he never saw, after hefshit, oiris to be taken lebeis HaSreifa? If any animal was found to be treifa after the skins were taken off, that means the psul was there before the hefshit and before the zrika. Nakol Moedim, that in this type of a case, the oiris are vada yoitz lebeis HaSreifa, they don't go to the koyanim. And for the Gemara Kesavah, Rav Chanina's Kana Gehanim is of the opinion that Nimtzas Treifa B'nei Ma'ayim Meratza. When Rebbe says that if a psul is found before Hefshit, or the Belazar Rav Shimon says if a psul is found before Zrika, then the Oiris have to be burned, that means if we actually find the psul before Hefshit or before Zrika. However, if we do not find the psul before Hefshit and before Zrika, even though after Hefshit or after Zrika we find the type of a psul that we know for sure was there before, this does not pass the Oiris. The Basar Taka will have to be burned, because Sabgol said we did find the psul, but as far as the Oiris are concerned, they will remain kosher. Deganavi says, Gemara, we substantiate this, that this is what Rav Chanina's Kana Kayhanim meant to say. Diktani, because immediately after Rav Chanina's Kana Kayhanim's statement in the Mishnah, we learned, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Midvar Rav Lemadnu, from Rav Chanina's Kana Kayhanim's words we learn, if somebody takes off the skin of a bchar, the nimsa treifa, and it turns out to be a treifa, even though we now see lemafreya that the psul in the basa was there before the hefshit, still the kehanim still have enough from the yard. They get it. So this is a befedish. It couldn't possibly be more befedish than this, that the Chanina's Kana Kehanim is of the opinion that if you find a psul after hefshit, even though b'metzias the psul was there beforehand, it does not affect the R. The problem, however, is that the Raya is such a good Raya from Rabbi Akiva's words that we're left with the problem, what is Rabbi Akiva telling us? According to our Maskana now, the main Chiddush of Rav Chanina's Kana Kayhanim is that even though the animal is found to be Treifa, and this psul was there even while the animal was still wrapped with the yarr. However, being that we weren't aware of it till after the hafshid, the yarr remains kosher. So what does Rabbi Akiva add? Mitvarav lemadnu, from Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kehanim's words, we would know that if somebody finds a par to be treifa after hafshid, the Kehanim still got the yarr. Frek the Gemara v'yelamayka mashkum Rabbi Akiva. What is Rabbi Akiva's chiddush? If this goof is what Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kehanim tells us, that a psul in the basa that is found after hafshid, even though the psul was there beforehand, he said it was only found after hafshid, if not possibly yarr, so the same would be true for the pchar. Why should I think that pchar would be any different than other kachar? And for the Gemara, hakem ashmalan afilu digvulin. There is a special chiddush by pchar. Rabbi Akiva is telling us not only does this halacha apply in the Beis HaMikdash, but it applies throughout Eretz Yisrael. Now the halacha with the pchar is as follows. As soon as the pchar is born, it is kadosh merachem, it belongs to the kayin. When the pchar is a tam, if it has no blemish, then there is a mitzvah to be makavid on the mizbeach. The baser of the pchar goes to the kohanim, and it has to be eaten with all the restrictions and halachas of regular kadosh kala. If the pchar, however, becomes a balmon, it is still property of the kayin, however, it is not considered kadoshim, it is considered chulin. It can be eaten anywhere and by anyone, but it may only be eaten by anyone. If the b'char dies, for instance, the skin of the b'char is aser, and it is tan kfur, it has to be buried. This is learned from the pasuk b'sherech tachlenu. Now what Rabbi Akiva is telling us is as follows. Let us say we have a b'char balmum, which is basically chulin. We shech the animal, we take off the skin, and then it turns out that the animal is treifa. So of course no one is permitted to eat it. In this case, however, the skins don't have to be buried. Reason being, at the time that it was geshachten, at the time that we skinned the animal, the basa was still kosher. We only found out after the skin was taken off that this animal is not royally achila. And that psul will not affect the ar. Rav Chanina's Kana Kehanim told us this halach in regard to kachim in the Beis HaMikdash. That even though the psul was there while the ar was still connected to the basa, being that we didn't know about it, the psul of the basa doesn't affect the ar. And Rabbi Akiva adds that the same is true for par in general, even the par that is not necessarily kachim, but the par b'mum which is chol. The halacha is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. However, the after Rabbi Akiva le'amar elke shehitiru mumcha, only when an expert was matir the par, because the halacha is that before one can establish a par as being a par balmum, which means it is no longer kachet, an expert must say for sure that the mum is not a mum either, it's a mum kua, and the expert also must look to see that no one inflicted the mum on purpose. So when these conditions were met, and an expert was matir the par, saying for sure this is a valid mum, in that case, even if the animal is found to be treifa, where you can't eat the meat, the oibus will remain for the kayan. Now there is somewhat of a controversy over here in regard to the next couple of words until the Mishnah. Let us see the gear says it appears in our Gemara. The Hilchos said the halacha is kedibri chachamim. In other words, although Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan said that the halacha is like Rav Yekiva, who says that even though the par begvulin is found to be treifa, and although the basar must be buried, the oirais still remain mutter, the halacha, however, is like the chachamim that say basar begvura, the basar has to be buried. Once it's determined that it's treif, you can't do anything else with the par. The Torah only permitted to eat it. The yarr is treif, and the yarr has to be burnt. Now, it's the last two words that's the problem. Why does the yarr have to be burnt? The Torah says a par, even a par balmum. If you can't eat it, you have to bury it. So if the yarr does not retain the heter, as the Akiva suggests, if we are to say that if the basa becomes treifa, the yarr has to go along with it, then the yarr has to be buried. Why b'sreifa? Therefore, Rashi suggests, first of all, to take out these last words. The Gemara is to conclude v'hilchus v'kedivei chachamim, that if the animal is found to be treifa, the yarr is not mutter, unlike Rabbi Akiva, who says that if the animal is found to be treifa after hafshid, the yarr retains the heter. And stop. The next word should be masnitin. Because again, to say that the basar is b'kfur and the yarr is b'sreifa, this is an extremely difficult statement. Because memanavshach, either we're talking about kachim in the Beis HaMikdash, then everything is b'sreifa, or we're talking about a p'char b'almum that can't be eaten, where it's b'kfura. But why the yarr b'sreifa and the basar b'kfura? Now Rashi goes on to say that it is his opinion When the Gemara says over here that the halach is like the chachamim, the Gemara is not referring to Rabbi Akiva, and we're not even referring to a parbamum at all. Rather, the halach is chachamim versus Rav Chanina Skanakayhanim in the Mishnah. Rav Chanina Skanakayhanim said in regard to kachim in the Beis HaMikdash, that if the animals are found to be treifa after the hafshit, the ar is mutar, even though the psul was there before hafshit, the chachamim disagree, and the halach is like the chachamim. But the Chachamim are not referring to Rabbi Akiva, they're not referring at all to a Par Bal Mum, they're talking about Kachin in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the problem with this, as explained by the Birkas HaZavach, is that it's not the nature of the Gemara to tell us that the Halacha is in accordance with one Man D'Yarma when referring to Halachas that will only be actually negated to us when Mashiach comes. Bishlam, if we're talking about what to do with a Par Bal Mum, that's negated as Man Hazeh. So the Gemara tells us if the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva or if the Halacha is like the Chachamim. However, if we're referring to a sheet of the Chacham which pertains only to Kachim and the Beis HaMikdash, generally not the nature of the Gemara to say that the Hilchos are one Man D'Yamar or another. Now, L'maisis is a Birkas HaZevach, we could possibly understand it, because Saif Kol Saif, if we say the Halach is like the Chachamim in the Beis HaMikdash in regard to Karbanos that become possible, the same automatically would apply to a Bchar Bal Mum. And we would know that just like Kachim, they are found to be Treifa, possible the iris, even though we found them to be treifa only after the iris were taken off, the same is true for a Par Bal Mum. If you find that the animal is treifa, even though you find out the animal is treifa after you took off the skins have to be buried. Now it's mashma from the Rambam, both in the Pirush of Mishnayis and in Mishnah Torah, that he is guided to the words v'hilchusa kechachamim basa bekfura v'yuar b'sreifa. And again, the Achayim struggle with this to understand how it's possible to have the Basa B'Kfura indicating that it's not a Kachim type of a psal, and the Arba Sereif indicating that it is Kachim. The Chak Nasan explains it as follows. The Hilchus HaKadivi Chachamim in regard to a Pchar that is a Tam, not a Pchar that is a Bal Mum. That's how the Rambam learns. If you have a Pchar that's in the Beis HaMikdash, you take off the skin and then you find that the Pchar is Treifa. The Rambam says the Basa is B'Kfura. The reason that it's Bekfura and not Besreif, although it's Karchim, explains the Chak Nasa, is because it is the opinion of the Rambam that the only time Karchim is Besreif is when you have a Karchim type of a psal happening to it. For instance, it becomes Tame, or it leaves the Azar, or whatever the case may be. However, the fact that it's Treifa, this isn't a Karchim kind of a psal. This means it never really was Hegdish. It was possible before it ever became Hegdish. Therefore, it's Bekfura. How can we be guided ha'ar b'sreif in the manavshach? If you consider treif a psul that comes before its hagdish, then the ar should also be buried. So the Chak Nasan explains it's a practical cheshbon over here. It's feasible to bury basar, because once you bury it, no one's going to use it. Masha'enken, the oirais that won't deteriorate, won't spoil, even though it's buried, if you bury it, somebody may find this a while later. He's not going to know that there was a serious problem over here, it was a par, and it'll come with detakal. Therefore, the Rambam is Goyris, the Giris in the Gemara, Basar Bikfura, because Lamaisa, if it's a Psul Treif, it's not considered a Hegdishtik Psul. However, still, even though it's not considered a Hegdishtik Psul, practically speaking, we pass him that Ha'ar B'Sreif. And the Rambam says this is the opinion of the Chachamim, that the Ar has to be burnt, and the reason is to avoid Takal. Zak to Mishnah Vaite. In this Mishnah, we're going to learn about the Sreif of the Chataras Apnimiyas. Zak the Mishnah, Parim and Asrafim, U Seirim and Asrafim, those Karbanis that are Parim, the cows that are burnt, and the Seirim and Asrafim, the goats. Parim and Asrafim are the Par Shal Yom HaKippurim, Par Kain Mashiach, and the Par Helam Davar Shal Tibur. Seirim and Asrafim are the Sawyer Shal Yom HaKippurim, and the Sawyer Shigigas Avodah Zarah. Now let us bear in mind as follows. All Kachim could wind up being burnt if they become possible, and the same is true for these Karbanis. However, there is a different kind of a Sreif over here. Even if everything works out all right with the Parim and these Seirim, they don't become Tamei, they don't leave, they don't become possible. They're still burnt, because that's what the Torah says. They're supposed to be burnt, Chutz L'machna. However, there is a Nafkamina when they are burnt because Kimitzvah, and everything worked out all right, and when they are burnt because something went wrong. Zak the Mishnah, Bizman Shehem Nisrafin Kimitzvah, and when everything is working out according to procedure, everything is working out according to the mitzvah of these respective karbans. Nisrafim b'veis hadashen. They are burnt in the place where the ashes are piled, and this is chutz l'gimel machnas, as we will learn later on in our parak. And in addition, umetamin begadim. Here we come to a gzeres akasav de ketumah, which we'll see more about later, b'ez Hashem. The people being Isaac with this, they become tamei, their begadim become tamei. The pasuk says, "V'yasoyef oisam, yechabes begadav." Now this is after everything went according to procedure. If, however, the carbon is being burnt, not because things went according to plan, but rather because the carbon became possible, and therefore we are burning it as we would burn any hegdish, then nisrafin b'dei sabira. Bei sabira explains Rashi is not chos l'gimel machbets, it is within either the Azari itself or the Harabayis. We will see the Azari Shemizbach in the Gemara in more details. And the Einam Metamin Begadim. Tuma only applies to the Sreifa that is done Kimitzvasan, to the Sreifa that is done when the procedure worked out alright, when we are burning it Chutz L'Gamul Machbes. Burning these Kabbanis because they are Pasul will not result in any Tuma. Zak the Mishnah Zaitis, we turn to Amit Beit. Hayisayv Lunaisayv B'maitas. Now, if everything went according to procedure, if the carbon did not become possible, as explained, it's going to be taken out chutz l'gimel machnes for sreifa. Now it is carried out, says the Mishnah, on four long sticks. Therefore, the halacha is that yatzu harashayne chutz l'chaymes u'azara. If the first two, those that are walking at the head of the sticks, holding the sticks on their shoulders, if they left the azara, the yachreinim and the people following them, holding the other side of the sticks, la yatzu, did not leave yet. Harashayim metamin begad. Those who walked out at the front, holding on to the sticks, they are metamin the begad. The achrayim and the people behind, who are still in the azara because they're holding on to the other side of the sticks, ainam metamin begadim ad sheyaitzu. They will not be metamin their begadim until they actually leave the chaymas azara. Zak the Mishnah Zayta. The Mishnah continues, and this is the girsa as it appears in the Shita Mekabasis, and also as the girsa appears in the Mishnayis. Yatsu elu v'elu. Once, however, all four people holding the carbon leave the Chaymas Uazara, then Eilu V'Eilu Metamin Begadim, everybody is Metamin Zir Begadim. Now the Chafetz Chaim explains in his Pirish on his Lakute Halachais that even if the entire carbon is outside of the Azara, still the people holding on to the back part of the sticks who are standing inside, they don't become Tamei. Rabbi Shimon Reimer, Shimon says, if Shimon disagrees with the Tanakama, that the Tamei is Chal once they leave the Azara, rather, he says, and again we go to the Gerus and the Shita Mekabatzes, even if all four people holding the stick actually cleared the Chaymas Uazara and are standing outside, Eilu v'Eilu Einon Metame. For Tomei is not Chal ad sheyutas ha'or beruban, until the fire is already burning, and it's burning over the greater part, over Roiv of the carbon. However, Rav Shimon concludes, Nitach ha'basar, and in the Gemara we're going to see this means when the basar becomes charred, even before its ashes, Einasar is metami begadim. From that point and on, the person burning the carbon or anyone helping with the burning of the carbon will not become tami. In the Gemara, we're going to see the Yezus Hashem that all of this is learned from Pesukim. First, however, the Gemara asks, "My bira, what is the bira?" Now, in the Mishnah, we learned that if the Parim and Asrafim and Sirim and Asrafim had their normal procedures, nothing went wrong, it's burnt chutz l'gimel machlis, taken out. Masha Enke, if the Parim and Asrafim and Seirim and Asrafim are burnt because they became possible, as any Hagdash should be burnt, they are not taken out to be burnt, but rather they are burnt in the Bira. In fact, the Gemara, my Bira, what is this? Amar Rabbi Baruchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Makam Yesh B'Harabais. There is a place on the Harabais, and it's called Bira. Ibira Shemai. Rish Lakish, Amar Rish Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, and Rish Lakish says there's no special place on the Harabais that is designated as the place of Bira. Rather, Kalabayis Kulikari Bira. Shenemer, as the Pasuk says, referring to the Beis HaMikdash, Habir HaShachinaisi. So when the Mishnah says that if the carbon becomes basal, you burn it, the Bira, Bira means in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara is going to explain that actual burning of Karbanis took place in one of three designated areas. Zakta Gemara, Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabbi Baravua, Shloisha Beis HaDeshanenheim, there were three places that were designated for the ashes. Beis HaDesh and Gadol, the big one, Haya B'Azara, that was in the Azara. Shasham over there, Sarifin Tzulei Kachi Kadashim, there they would burn Kachi Kadashim, but they came possible. V'Emurei Kadashim Kalim, although Kachi Kalim itself can be eaten throughout the entire city, being however that the Makam for the Haktarah of the Emurim is inside, therefore should it become possible, the Emurim of Kadashi Kalim as well as Kachi Kadashim are burnt inside the Azara, they are not taken outside. Rashi explains that the Gemara in Tzachim learns this from a pasuk of Mibakaidesh the Eishti Saris. Now, no one disputes this, that the Kachi Kadashim and the Emurim of Kadashi Kalam are burnt inside. It is the next item that the Rabbi Bar Avuha mentions, which is also burnt inside, that we will soon see a dispute about. Iparim ha-nisrafim, u'se'irim ha-nisrafim, these karbanas that are supposed to be burnt outside, if everything goes according to plan, she'iri behen tzul, should a tzul occur to them koidim zrika, before the zrika, then they too are burnt in this big beis hadeshen that is inside the azar. Now basically what we're saying is that anything that belongs inside, if it becomes possible, is burnt inside. Anything that belongs outside is burnt outside. Indeed, parim ha-nisrafim and se'irim ha-nisrafim are intended to be brought outside, but that is dafka li'achar zrika. Therefore, if they became possible before zrika, then they are not burnt outside, rather burnt in this big beis hadeshen that's inside the azara. That's the Rabbi Bar Avuha's sheet. So once again, the three items of the big beis hadeshen inside the azara are kachi kadoshim that became possible, a murei kadoshim kalim that became possible, and parim ha-nisrafim was se'irim ha-nisrafim that became possible before zrika. Rabbi Bar Avuha continues. There was a second beis hadeshen. The beis hadeshen achar was not inside the azara, but hoya bi harabayis, was outside the chaimus azara on the harabayis. Shasham over there, Sarfin Parim Anisrafim, Musirim Anisrafim, She'ir Ben Tzol Achazik. If something went wrong with the Parim Anisrafim and the Sirim Anisrafim, if they became possible after Zika, in this case they are taken out, because over here they are intended to come out right after the Zika, and they are burnt right outside the Azara on the Harabais. However, Ubimit Smasan continues, if nothing went wrong with the Parim Anisrafim and Sirim Anisrafim, it did not become possible, and now it's time to burn it, as the procedure is with these karbanas. That's why they're called Parim HaNisrafim, Lusirim HaNisrafim. Chutz L'Shalosh Machnas, this burning takes place outside of all three Machnas. Zakta Gemara Tani Levi, however Levi had a different version of what is burnt where. Levi also says, Shalosha Beis HaDeshanin, hey, there were three Beis HaDeshanin, Beis HaDeshan Gadol, Hayabi Azara, there was the big one in the Azara. Shasham, as Rabbi Bar Avuha also said, Sarfim Tzulei Kadoshe Kadoshim, Kadoshe Kadoshim that became possible was burnt there, V'yemuri Kadoshim Kalam, these are things that don't go out, aren't intended to leave the Azara, that's why if they become possible, are burnt inside the walls of the Azara. However, here is where Levi disagrees. Levi says that Iparim and Esrafim, the Parim that are supposed to be burnt, Se'irim and Esrafim, She'irim and Tzul, should a Tzul occur to them, Bein Kaidin Zika and Bein Li'achar Zika. Even if a Tzul occurs to them after Zrika, we don't say at this point it is already meant to leave and therefore it's burnt outside. It is still burnt inside the Chaimas HaAzara. Aye, after Zrika it's intended to go out. Levi is of the opinion that the intention to take it out is not enough. If the fact is it didn't come out yet and it became possible, then it's burnt inside. Now sometimes the Parim HaNisrafim and Sirim HaNisrafim were burnt immediately outside of the Azara on the Harabais. What was burnt over there according to Levi? Shesham, Sarfim Parim HaNisrafim, Musirim HaNisrafim, She'ir Ben Tzol, where a Tzol occurred to them, be it Tziasa. If the Parim HaNisrafim and Sirim HaNisrafim were actually taken out of the Azar already, as they are supposed to do, and we were heading for Chutz L'Gimel Machmas, and then a Tzol occurred to them, here we burn it in this intermediate point, which is on the Harabayis, but outside of the Azar. Levi also concludes, Ubevitzvasan, but if no psul occurs to the Parim HaNisrafim, Usirim HaNisrafim, and everything goes according to procedure, then it is Chutz L'Shalosh Machnas, the place that it is burnt is outside of all three Machnas. One thing, however, is clear. If a psul occurs to the Parim HaNisrafim or the Sirim HaNisrafim before Zrika, how come Maidin that they are burnt within the confines of the Chaimas HaAzara, not outside? Now, in the Mishnah we learned that Parim HaNisrafim and Sirim HaNisrafim that become possible are burnt babira. The Mishnah just gave us two stages. If everything goes according to procedure, they're burnt chutz l'gimel machnas. If they become possible, it's burnt babira. Now, what is bira? We saw at the beginning of our Gemara Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says there is a place in the Harabayis called bira, and Rish Lakish says that the Beis HaMikdash itself is called bira. Now, what is the Mishnah referring to? Is the Mishnah referring to a psul that occurs before Zrika? Is the Mishnah referring to a psul that occurs after Yitziah? According to the Yochanan, apparently, who says that Bira was not in the walls of the Azara, but Bira was a designated place on the Harabais, which is outside of the Azara, we have to assume that when the Mishnah says the Parim HaNisrafim and the Sirim HaNisrafim became possible, the Mishnah is referring to a psul which is Liacha Zrika or Liacha Yitziah. Now, it seems difficult to say that because the Mishnah makes no such chiluk. The Mishnah seems to just say that it's either outside of the Gimel Machmas or Babira. The Mishnah doesn't stress Liachah Zrika before Zrika. So the Sfasem wants to suggest that according to the Yochanan, this place Bira, which is on the Harabayis, is both. It's on the Harabayis, but also situated in such a way that it's open to the Azara. And there's a part of this Bira that is considered inside the Azara. There's also part of the Bira, most of the Bira, as he paints the picture, that is on the Harabayis outside of the walls of the Azara. If that would be the case, we could understand that the Mishnah is not being specific, because indeed the Mishnah is just giving us the general term, either outside of the Gimel Machbes or in the Bira. And in the Bira itself, there's a difference. Before Zerika, it's inside the Azara, the part of the Bira that is considered Kodesh. After Zerika, or after Yitzi, if that's when the Pesul occurred, then it's burnt in the part of the Bira that is on the Harabayis, outside of the Azara. The problem is, however, that the Rambam in Maisa HaKurbanis gives us a different structure of Bira. As the Sfasemis points out, the Lashon of the Rambam, Yesh Nisrafim Biazara, sometimes the Prime Nisrafim and Sidim Nisrafim are burnt in the Azara, depending on when the Psul occurred. The Yesh Nisrafim B'makayim Shahoye B'harabayis Bira Shemai. So it's mashma that the entire Bira is outside of the Azara. And there is no such a Metzias of a Bira that has Kedushas Azara. So the Mele is the Tzarechin as to what the Mishnah actually is referring to when the Mishnah says it is burnt by Bira. Now in the Mishnah we also learned the Shita of Shimon. If Shimon says the person is not Metami Begadim when he leaves the Azara, holding on to the Parah Manasrafim or Sidim Manasrafim, rather, once the Ar takes over the greater part of the carbon, then the person is Metami is Begadim. Now the answer can be understood in one of two ways, asks the Sfasemis. It could mean that he has to actually be Isaac in the Sreifa until Roiv of the carbon is burning, and only when he touches the carbon after Roiv of it is burning, then is he Metami is Begadim. Or it could mean, even if he just lights the match, once the fire takes over the greater part of the carbon, then he becomes Tameh. So what does Rav Shimon mean to say? Now, we'll double explain this to us. Tosfos in Sanhedrin says that all over we pass Ganesha Mishim Chitzya, but there is a Machlokes. If the act of lighting a fire is considered as though the fire is your arrow that a person shot, or is it considered Mimainai? Like when a person's shar goes out and does damage, the Baal HaShar is responsible, the same is for a fire. Now, if Taisa says all over we pass Ganesha Mishim Chitzya, v'lecha oira, when a person lights a fire, regardless of what he does afterwards, the fire is considered a result of his immediate action. It's his arrow. And the male, he should become Tamei when the fire starts taking over Roiv of the carbon, even though at that point he's not being Isaac in the carbon anymore. The Sfasemis, whoever rejects this Svara, saying that Isha Mishim Chitzya is a Svara as far as Hezek is concerned, as far as doing damage is concerned, you can apply this Svara to say that it's a direct act of damage. It's not considered an abstract act. However, as far as Tumah is concerned, even if somebody shoots an arrow at the Tumah, he is not Tumah. You have to actually touch the Tumah. And the Mele says the Yitzharachin as to what Reb Shimon actually means.